K-H-U-R-1-O. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tis the season for holiday cheer, peace, and goodwill toward men and women, but it is sometimes a little difficult to maintain the season's best feelings when it comes to co-parenting. How do divorced or parents who aren't together share the children and make the best of the holidays? Well, this is our Wellness Wednesday conversation and part of our series on boundaries. My guests are clinical psychologist Dr. Roz Aker-Black and Dr. Robert Evans, psychotherapist and relationship expert. And he knows this issue firsthand as he is part of a blended family. If you're struggling with this issue about being a really good co-parent, if you're having problems even talking about being a good co-parent during the holidays, this conversation is for you. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Roz, Dr. Evans, thank you both for joining the conversation. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So let me first ask you, Dr. Roz.
Yes.
It seems that, okay, we want to make sure that our children are happy 24/7, but particularly during the holidays. But is it difficult for parents who are not together to co-parent? And why is that, if that's the case?
I think it can be difficult for some people, depending on what the relationship looked like when they were together. But it doesn't have to be difficult if you have two emotionally mature individuals.
Yeah, well, there's the rub, isn't it?
emotionally
mature individuals. What does that look like?
Someone who can put their differences aside about how they feel about a person and know that it's about the children. And so when they're able to put, you hurt me, you did this, you did that aside and say, you know what, this is for the kids, let's get together for the kids. Our issues don't have to be our kids' issues. And so when they are able to remove those barriers, I call them barriers, when they're able to remove those barriers, then they're able to experience something very different in their relationships.
What has been your experience, Dr. Evans? As I mentioned in the very beginning, you come from a blended family. What does that look like? Have you had any challenges with that, or was it always smooth sailing?
Oh man, that's a loaded question, but it definitely has not always been smooth sailing. 23 years of co-parenting with children, and you know, it's been an uphill battle, but it's been very rewarding. And over the years, I learned how to manage. But really, all the work is with self. You know, it's really a lot of self work that goes into it, because you got to get yourself out of the way, and you really have to keep your kids in mind. And the kids just want their parents. They don't care. They just want mommy and daddy, right? And mommy could be a crackhead, mommy could be anything, but they want mommy. And we got to get out of the way, and even if it has to be monitored or supervised or whatever, but we got to make it happen when it's possible. And that's the thing that we tend to have trouble with, is getting ourselves out of the way.
Define for me what boundaries in co-parenting mean for you.
Boundaries in co-parenting for me, wow, it really does have to do with just ensuring that at the end of the day, the children are getting the max effort from both parents as much as possible. And, you know, what that means is just making sure that along the way, you know, you're maintaining your sanity, your safety, your self-care and your standards. Because sometimes people set too much aside, you know, to accommodate the kids, and they try to take control, you know, and be in private practice. You know, I've seen where a parent will say, well, because I want to foster or facilitate this relationship between dad and child or mom and child, I'll compromise myself and allow that person access to the house, or I'll allow that person to come and go as they please. Or, and it's like, no, you can't foster that. You can't facilitate that. So the boundaries mean that you don't compromise how things should be. If you now get into a new relationship, can you maintain the arrangement that you have, right? So set the boundaries so that you can maintain the arrangement that you have with that parent, even if someone new comes into the equation. If you have a situation where now it's going to be compromised or awkward because you get in a new relationship, you need to think twice about that arrangement.
I know one of the logistical difficulties, Dr. Raj, as we move through the holiday season, we can take Thanksgiving, for example. If the parents aren't together, I can speak also from my experience as well. Sometimes it's, the child gets, half a Thanksgiving one place and half a Thanksgiving the other place. Or you get Thanksgiving this year and then you get Christmas later. Or you get Christmas this year. And what impact can that have on children?
That's a great question. I think in terms of understanding, and it really is based on the child. And I think when there is something like a divorce or a split or a break, you have to ensure that you are trying to keep things as normal as possible for the kids, because every child, and I don't care who it is, and in my experience, every child thinks that the divorce is their fault. Every child. In every experience that I've worked with couples who are going through these situations, their kids think, if I'm just a little better, if I get better grades, if I don't get in trouble in school, my parents will stay together. So you want to make sure that you're not doing things to confuse the child, and you want to make sure that you are participating in such a way that they can see you as cohesive. Because at the end of the day, you're still their parents, and they need to know that they can trust you and that they can believe that you say who you are and that you're going to do what it is that you say you're going to do.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a Wellness Wednesday conversation and part of our series on boundaries. We're talking about better co-parenting during the holidays. Can that be done? How should it be done? And what has your experience been? If you have a comment or a question about it, give us a call. So, Dr. Evans, I would imagine, I know that there are times, and I've heard about this, some of my friends and acquaintances, even after divorce, the parents will still do things together or celebrate holidays together. From my thought process, that's all fine, well, and good until daddy gets a girlfriend or mama gets a boyfriend. Can that kind of thing still be done? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, if now both separated or divorced parents have significant others, it may be very difficult for the new girlfriend or the new boyfriend to be mature enough.
Right.
To want to say, oh, I heard that. I heard, ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Baby, I'm going to have Thanksgiving with my ex-husband's family.
Yeah.
What can that work without somebody sucking on their teeth or giving the whole thing the side eye?
Yeah, and I think you said the key word, maturity, right? And I think any situation can work if the parties that are involved are mature enough to understand it and to make it work. And really, it's communication, it's open communication. But like you say, if you have a situation that can potentially become a problem later when you introduce another party into the equation, you really want to be careful. But when it comes to like doing things as a family, like if you go over the exes, you take the kids over the exes, and maybe the ex has a partner, but if there's a situation where both of them are single, at some point there's going to be somebody else introduced to that equation, and you want to make sure it's done in a way that it's careful, and not everybody's going to be understanding of that. But if you have two people that have moved on and they're in a relationship, they're married, it'd be great if all of them could come together and do things as a whole family for the kids. And I've done that, you know, celebration, graduation celebrations and things like that, cookout, we all together. We all celebrating together. So it can happen. Ideally, it would be great if that happens, because I see the kids light up when everybody's in the same place at the same time. But can everybody handle that? You know, come see me and I'll help you through it.
What, from your own personal experience, what was the most difficult thing in co-parenting for you?
Wow. Again, getting myself out of the way and picking battles, you know, choosing.
What does that mean?
So that not everything needs to be confronted, right? So, you know, you may want something a certain way. You may want a haircut a certain way. You may want to do a haircut. You may want to do a hairstyle. You may want the kids to dress a certain way, purchase certain things. Like, everything doesn't have to be your way. And once you understand that, okay, I can't control everything, which a lot of people want to do. They want to control the narrative even when the kid is not in their house. You're not going to be able to control the other person's house. You only can control what goes on in your house. And understanding that is something that I had to come to learn very early, because you want to make sure that you handle things a certain way and set a certain tone, so that when you have a partner that you're moving on with, that you've already set the foundation for, this is how we're going to operate when we co-parent, and how we're going to treat people that you introduce to the children or bring into the equation. So, you know, but as far as the most challenging thing, you know, again, making sure that I keep my kids at the forefront, and then managing multiple parents, you know. So my wife came with three children. She had an ex-husband. She was previously married. So that's one person. Then I had an ex-wife. That's one person. Then my oldest son was by another woman, and that's one person. So, and she was, and she's married. So
that's a Brady bunch.
It's an Evans bunch. Right? But all of these moving pieces.
Marsha.
Right. And then understanding all of the dynamics and all of that. So it's just it's being aware and being able to communicate and choosing your battles wisely. And making strategic moves.
Yeah, that last part. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about co-parenting during the holidays. Can it work? How to do it the best way possible, particularly when it comes to the health and emotional welfare of the children. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Roz, when should you start having these conversations with your co-parent?
As soon as possible. I think when you know that you are about to end the relationship, you have to consider the children, because they didn't ask to be here. And so you have to figure out, how are we going to manage our babies? What does this look like? What do you want? What do I want? You can really start out in the beginning negotiating. Like, do you want Christmas? Do you want Thanksgiving? Do you want them every other weekend? You know, I think you have to be mature and a little open to what is needed for your children. So I think the sooner the conversation about co-parenting, the better.
And those are the kind of conversations that kind of bring real reality to what's going on. And
absolutely,
we're parting ways and we're separating. And now we're talking about, what is it going to look like if we're having to co-parent from different households?
Yep.
That's kind of reality check. And sometimes people say, you know what, I really don't want to do that.
Right.
So, you know, it's really important to have those conversations. I tell people, talk about what it's going to look like immediately and actually start to put it in place. So for me, being separated for about 2 years before the actual divorce was final, we started to move with the children as if we were already apart. So the days
that
I'm supposed to have.
What do you mean by that?
So we agreed on the days that I would have the kids, the days that she would have the kids. And even though we're under the same roof, the kids, I'm responsible for taking the kids to school back and forth these days. You're responsible these days. I'm responsible for these weekends. You're responsible for these weekends. However we structured it, we started to move in that way even before the divorce was final.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
And you're right. When you talk about it early, it does bring a whole reality. I have probably saved some marriages because the dad is like, I don't want another dude raising my child.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody else in my house raising my kids, the mom is like, yeah, I want some other woman around my kid, you know. And so when you think about those things and you know the deficits of your spouse, you know, I think that's when a lot of the bittering, the, you know, arguing gets into play, because you think about your deficits, like, he doesn't know how to cook, he doesn't know how to do hair, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that. You start thinking about those things, and it's like, do I really want to put my children through that?
And I think, again, making sure that the health and welfare of the children is primary. Because you'll know when they've been impacted. Definitely know that. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Shawnee, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Shawnee. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to throw out a perspective there about the negative talk between parents. Coming from a divorced childhood, that was something that impacted me greatly. I think that kids are resilient. I think that they adapt well in situations. Things happen all the time. But the negative talk, you know, from one parent to their child about the other parent, it just makes things so difficult. And especially in the holidays, you know, all the coordination and all the things that I'm hearing you guys talk about, I think are necessary. And I think we also just need to remember that you really have to work together and save all of your negative comments for somebody else and not for your child.
Man, that's good.
Yeah. Shawnee's absolutely correct, because at the end of the day, you pick the person to have that chat with. And when you start talking about negatively about your ex, then now you're forcing your kids to be in a space of having to choose. Like, I don't want mommy mad at me. I don't want daddy mad at me. If I have a good time with daddy, is mommy's feelings going to be hurt? If I have a good time with mommy, is daddy's feelings going to be hurt? And your child should not... It's unfair to your children to make them try to barter that.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Shawnee, thank you so much for your phone call. Also, Sarah, calling from Omaha, Nebraska. We're going to talk to you next, so please stay with us. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. Still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. How do divorced or separated parents share the children and make the best during the holidays? This is our Wellness Wednesday conversation and part of our series on boundaries. My guests are clinical psychologist Dr. Roz Aker-Black and Dr. Robert Evans, psychotherapist and relationship expert. If you have a comment, if you have a question, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're welcome to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before we go to the next call, I want to drill down a little bit deeper about Shawnee's point. It is easy to say, don't speak poorly of the other parents, and that would be the mature thing to do. This should also be titled The Mature Person's Conversation. But I think the reality is that these things happen, and you don't always know when they happen until something is said by your child, and by the time you figure that out, the damage is done. And you're no longer in the same household, if you ever were. You can't control what the other person says.
Right. Yeah. And you're not off the hook if you're not saying it directly to the child, but you're on the phone and you know the child can hear you.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah, he, or she, and the child is in the next room. Right. Nah, you don't get a pass on that. And it really does make it challenging for the children, because now they know the opinion that mom or dad has about the other parent. And so they don't want to hurt anyone. They want to remain loyal, especially to the parent that they're probably spending the most time with. Yeah. And so I've seen all types of situations where the child will act like they're crying and they clinging on to one parent.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that parent is gone and they with the other parent, it's all good. Mm-hmm. But they had to show this.
Right.
This loyalty, right? And so it's really challenging for children when they don't see the parents getting along. If they see one parent that, and you could just frown when the person show up. You got to watch your nonverbals. You got to watch all of that because all of that matters, right?
Yeah. Good point. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sarah, calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Thanks for calling, Sarah. What's on your mind? Sarah, can you hear me? Sarah, give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Michelle calling from Martinsburg, West Virginia. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just want to say dads tend to sacrifice a lot when it comes to co-parenting. And my question is, when is it just a good time to just decide we need to go to court so we can put all these things in play in perspective, because one parent isn't playing fair and the other parent is not, I guess pretty much being, you know, the kids are being played as a tool to make dad mad or so I guess my whole thing is that we tend to, you know, dads just tend to give up so much when they're the ones that's doing a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of moms
that don't do their part, but they're calling all the shots.
Yeah, I think you raise a great point, because a lot of dads are deterred because they're familiar with the history of the court system and how moms were historically favored. But I actually took, you know, my oldest son's mother to court and fought for custody, and I had to get an attorney and I had to actually, you know, fight for it. I had to do research and convince my attorney, like, look, this is going to impact my child, right? So I had to literally fight for it. And you know, you can convince any court or any judge of what is best for the children when you show up correct. So, and I had to do that in my divorce as well. So, you know, it's really about, and it's immediate. You don't wait. So if you're not married, then you need to go ahead and get the court system involved. For me, it was important to do that because I wanted to make sure that it was on record, my efforts. So, you know, going to get a blood test, making sure that, hey, it's on record that this is my child, so that this person can't take advantage of the situation and say, oh, this isn't your child, because people play games like that. No. And put me on child support. I want to be on child support so that it's documented that my payments are going X, Y, and Z. So getting the court involved when you have a conflict situation like that is important. This, of course, if you're married and you're getting a divorce, court is going to automatically be involved. But if you're not married, then I say immediately get the court involved.
I would also offer this bit of advice, Michelle, having been through, you know, the court system. My first thought is try to talk to the co-parent first, with the caveat that you never really want to have the court tell grown folks how to act. But that is what happens when grown folks don't know how to act. And you know, we could talk about details where it's not just, well, in 2023, you're going to have little Johnny for Thanksgiving, and then I'll have little Johnny for Christmas Day. Sometimes little Johnny needs to be picked up no later than 9:01 a.m. on Christmas Day and needs to be returned at no later than 10:59 p.m. You don't want to do that. But if you don't know, how to act, then the courts will have to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, but when you do that, I guess when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And this is the thing, though. Once you get the court involved, you don't automatically have a judge make a decision. You have to go through a whole series of things. Mm-hmm. You got to go through mediation. Like, you have an opportunity to get your senses together, right? If you got any. If you don't have any, then the court is going to have to make a decision for you.
Okay. Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melvin calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Go right ahead, Melvin. What's on your mind?
Yes. The thing is, I'm learning through my experiences of being a single parent, as well as watching my brother that was married and my people that I know that was married. The thing is, once they break it off or whatever, we have to understand as adults, we need parenting classes, because I found out that parenting classes really work for both sides. It'd take away a lot of the bitterness that built up between the two. And once you go to those parenting classes, you'll see things a lot of difference, because once you start putting the court in your business, it's a whole different ball game, because the courts really don't care about the kids. I'm going to be honest with you. The courts do not care about these children out here. And it's sad, but it's true. And the thing is, we as adults should take parenting classes and learn how to compromise and get over that bitterness, because ultimately it should be about the kids and what's suitable for the kids, not always what's best, what's suitable for the kids, because when you find out what's suitable for the kids, it'll work out better, because no woman can take the place of a man and no man can take the place of a woman. Because you got a lot of females out here would quickly say, I'm doing both. But you didn't even allow your husband or your child's father to stay involved like they truly wanted to.
But I think, Melvin, you make, you know, a critical point, which goes back to the very, very beginning of this conversation, whether it's during the holidays or any other time. And Dr. Roz, I think you can really speak on the damage that holding bitterness in for either party can do to the parents emotionally, when you're constantly competing against the other or trying to hurt the other.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in my experience, some people are in it just for the sport, because they don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you wronged me, now I'm going to make you pay for treating me like this. An emotionally mature person needs to recognize, and someone who is struggling with emotional maturity needs to recognize, like, is this more damaging to me? Like, what is this really resolving? Mm-hmm. If I'm taking you to court every week or every month, is that changing anything? And I think sometimes when you get so steadfast, like, I'm going to make you pay for hurting me, then you get caught up in that and you forget about the kids. Mm-hmm. You forget about why you're even upset with that person.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, Melvin, again, it really takes a great deal of maturity and a sense of character for... Exactly. You know, exactly. For sometimes you got to suck that stuff up.
Yeah.
And because eventually you will see the damage that's done to the child.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yep. Melvin, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sassy calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. So I want to feed off of the last discussion, the last question, the last caller. So I've seen so much emotional damage and, you know, the effects of parents using children as bargaining chips for emotional gains, financial gains, you know, one over the other. And I've seen in many families how this really destroys the children. So I was going to ask the professionals in their experiences, how is that handled? Can they give us some thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I have several families who are going through this, where, you know, the children are going in between homes, And you're absolutely right. It is damaging to the kids. And you see the impact that it's having on the children's behavior. And for me, it's getting the parents together in the same room and having a family meeting so that they can understand the importance of, hey, you guys are going to have to get it together because it's impacting this kid. So, you know, for me, it's inviting them both. And you know, nobody wants to be seen as the bad guy. So when I confront them both, then they're all willing. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. Okay, well, come on. Right? Let's have a talk. So it's really, you know, exposing them both to say, hey, this is what's going on with your kid. And it's because of this and this that you're doing. And this is what needs to change. So mm-hmm. That's my approach.
I think that's a great point. Like, people shy away from family therapy, but family therapy is a fantastic tool for that reason in itself, because there's no blame, but you just look at the situation and see who's maintaining the craziness.
Absolutely.
And if we're both maintaining the craziness, then now we both are accountable. Mm-hmm. We both now have to change.
Absolutely. It's going to get exposed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no running from it.
Yeah.
Sass, thank you so much for your phone call. I need to stop for a moment. We have some breaking news happening in the District of Columbia right now. D.C. police are on the scene of a deadly shooting at Metro Center. We are getting reports that a federal police officer shot and killed someone on the platform at Metro Center. This happened approximately 40 minutes or so ago. They remain on the scene, and the Red Line trains have been suspended between Farragut North and Gallery Place, according to Metro officials. A shuttle bus service is being provided. Again, a federal law enforcement officer has shot and killed someone on a Metro platform at Metro Center. As this story continues to develop, we will keep you updated. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue our conversation on boundaries during the holidays as it relates to doing the best for your children when the parents are not together. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our Wednesday wellness conversation and part of our series on boundaries. We're talking about the best way to co-parent during the holidays, as we should have been. We've been talking about what is best for the children, but you can't have healthy children unless you have healthy parents.
Here we go.
You know, Dr. Evans, how do you establish, you know, the boundaries during those holidays, as I said in the beginning, so that the parents can feel emotionally settled? Is it, do you do it together, or maybe you don't do it together? because as soon as you see, you know, your ex-wife or your ex-husband, the hackles on the back of your neck start to stand up.
Well, you know, the emotional regulation process cannot start during the holiday season, right? This is a everyday, year-round process, and I believe in being proactive. In America, we are very reactive. Your health insurance don't work until your leg is busted, or you're falling apart, and then the stuff kick in. And I'm like, nah, we need to be proactive, you know. And so what that means is self-care and emotional regulation beforehand, so that I can be ready for when my heart stop beating fast, right? If I see this person, if I haven't done the work, then my heart will start beating fast because I haven't done the work of releasing that negative energy before I even see this person. So there's a lot of proactive work that goes into it. And if you don't do anything and you just show up, you're setting yourself up because you don't know how you're going to react in that situation, right? So it's for me, it's every day doing a daily routine of releasing negative energy and getting my heart rate up and taking deep breaths and blowing out those people that did me wrong, or those people that, you know, I might have some type of ill will towards or some negative feelings about. That's the forgiveness process. It's not letting somebody off the hook or not holding them accountable, it's I don't have to continue to punish myself by feeling upset and angry and bitter. That's self-punishment, right? Yeah. So I have to learn to let that go so that when I see this person, I can eat my turkey.
Absolutely. But I would also say, Dr. Roz, that compromise is probably the most important thing for co-parents. What does that look like? What are those discussions like?
You said something, Dr. Evans, that is so true. At the end of the day, you really have to get into a space of what is the core pain that is happening in this moment? Why are you having such a physical reaction towards the person? And I think sometimes we think that people owe us an apology, but they don't. I mean, you can live your life without someone apologizing to you. And like you said, in terms of forgiveness, at the end of the day, I have to be an advocate for my own self. I'm not going to punish myself because I'm not going to burden myself with your choices. You decided to do something, but I can choose how I react to it.
But when I say compromise, I'm talking about compromise in reference to what we're going to do with the child, because to your point, we've got the issue with the child, but we also have the issue with us. And some people are looking for closure at the expense of the emotional stability of the child and your own peace.
And I think that's when you play the bigger person in the compromise of, you know what, my child comes first, and I see that my child's grades are dropping, my child is misbehaving in school. Is it really worth my child going through this pain because I can't get along with his dad? Like, is that really worth it? And I think at the end of the day, sometimes you have to compromise with yourself. You may no longer be in a relationship, but you have to make the compromise with yourself. Am I going to keep this up, or am I going to like burn this person at the stake just because it makes me feel better, but my child suffers? I think you really have to have a come to Jesus moment with yourself and really think about what your behaviors are doing.
And then in terms of compromise, though, people forget the table may turn.
Absolutely.
And this favor that's being asked of me, I may need in the future.
Absolutely.
You are asking for the kids to stay with you for Thanksgiving. Well, I may want them to stay with me for Thanksgiving. So can I say, okay, this Thanksgiving, you can have them so that I can set the tone for the expectation for next time. So it's not just thinking about the now. It's thinking about, okay, I have to invest in this situation so that I can build credit, my own credit, right? So I can say, you know what? I look past all these times where you were late. Now that I'm late, you're not going to trip, right? Because I didn't jump all over you, right? So it's really leading by example and setting the tone for the way you want to be treated, really.
And I think to that point, you and this is the compromise piece. This is the understanding. With the, you know, obviously with the caveat that no one is perfect, the world is not perfect, stuff happens.
It does.
Absolutely.
It does.
And you say, well, I'm, you know, this is my week, and it just happens to land on Christmas Day. Maturity and flexibility.
There you go.
Because it's not your week, it's your child.
There you go.
And you know, sometimes, you know, and I would say, you know, this may be the case with, you know, a lot of men where, well, this is not my week. Well, whether it's your week or not, it's your child. And so that means if you've got to do two weekends in a row because the mother's got to work or what have you, be happy that you are having that quality time two weekends in a row where everybody is so regimented. This is your week. This is my week. This is your week. This is my week. And again, particularly during this season when there are supposed to be, you know, conversations about joy and blessings and togetherness and family.
We got to stop looking for time off and start looking for time on.
Absolutely.
Like, how can I get time with my kids versus time away from them and change that mindset?
What do you think is the best of finding the key to the best situations for your children? Because it's one thing where you can make those decisions when your children are, you know, very, very young, even up until, you know, puberty. But then they want to be able to make their own decisions. And then there is the push and the pull with them between what they want for themselves and what you want for them as a parent.
I think you have to, I apologize. I think you have to allow them the opportunity. And I'm from the South, and so it was raised as little girls should be seen, not heard. I hate to say it. That wasn't my parents,
but
that was
you?
The idea. Yeah, it didn't
happen. Yeah, it didn't happen with you.
It didn't happen with me. But I think there's a time where we have to teach our kids how to be advocates for themselves. And so in a difficult situation where the parents aren't getting along, sometimes you need to listen to what the kid has to say, because they're seeing all perspectives because they're in the middle of it. And so they might have an opinion about, I don't want to stay with this person, and mom, here's why. I don't want to stay with dad, and here's why. And so you should give them the opportunity to, you know, when they become of age, you should give them the opportunity to be an advocate for themselves. It works later on in life for them. Look at you.
Exactly. It's really important to create that kind of family environment where your kids have a voice. I think what's challenging for a lot of parents, which I've seen, is when they feel like the parent is not good for the child, when they have their opinion about the parent's influence over the child and whether or not the child is going to be impacted negatively by being around the child. And the child is like, well, I want to go over this house. And, and from your perspective, it's not a good environment over there. And you feel like you're protecting the child.
Yeah.
And it's like, when do I step in and say, you can't go over there, and this is why, or not even give you a reason why. So, you know, the transparency is going to be key. You know, our kids nowadays are exposed and have access to any and everything, right? It was way different. Parenting is way different now. When I was coming up, we literally could say, you know, this is an adult conversation, right?
Yeah.
You can't be in here. You're to be seen and not heard. Children, their orientation is totally different. They have full access to everything, right? And it's, we no longer can carry it like that. We need to say, okay, let's start having conversations so that we can really now guide your education versus you getting the education from your peers or from other places. So,
but you know, one of the things that just occurred to me when you're talking about parents who are apart and establishing their own lives apart from the other parent, and one of the examples is, okay, we celebrate Christmas at daddy's house.
Yeah.
But mom's new boyfriend doesn't believe in celebrating Christmas.
Yeah.
And so as a result, she stops celebrating Christmas. And, you know, maybe he does do Kwanzaa. Maybe he doesn't do Kwanzaa. Maybe they don't decorate. And dad is feeling some kind of way about, because, you know, dad belongs to the Baptist church, and now, you know, maybe mom's a Buddhist now, right, or something like that. And those are the kinds of conflicts that require, again, maturity and
therapy.
Yeah.
I've seen it, and that situation can be very, very difficult, especially because people want to control everything.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, okay, you know what? Maybe it's healthy for this kid to get exposed to these different opportunities to learn and to figure out for themselves what they want. We want to say, no, you have to learn this and you have to do this. When at some point they're going to be able to do what they want to do anyway, why not just allow them to figure it out for themselves or have questions and come back and say, well, here's what we did over here. And maybe educate yourself to something new. But we want to stay closed off and want to be controlling. So we got to get ourselves out of the way. That's what I said earlier. The toughest thing is just get yourself out of the way.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when something is different, we want to put a right or wrong on it, but there's no right or wrong. It's just different. And I think sometimes we have to, you know, accept that things are just different, but it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong.
Exactly. And save your opinion.
Yeah.
You want to put an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Oh, they eating that over there. They're not eating this over here. Ain't nobody got time to hear all that. Now the child feel like they can't eat
that. They can't eat it. Yeah, you're right.
That's right. Is that smoked turkey or is that a ham hock?
Right. Let him have all of it.
No, we have chitlins over here. No chitlins over there.
We vegan over here.
Yeah, that's
right. Be vegan over there.
Soy chitlins?
Yeah, right. Let them have his tadurken or whatever they call it. Let them have it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'd like to be a fly on the wall at your house, Dr. Let me tell you, during
it's
the holidays.
Trust me.
Dr. Roz Ackerblack and Dr. Robert Evans, thank you both for talking to us. And, you know, I really appreciate your input and your insight. Hopefully we've helped some people during the holidays and beyond.
Absolutely. So. Follow your boy. Empower all day.
Yeah. Empower all day.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, December 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.